right. I like that. There, boy. We was jamming in the studio. Did I say that? Yeah, we was jamming in the studio.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That was good. That was a good vibe song right there. That'll keep you moving out there. Get your heart rate going. Awesome. So, happy Veterans Day.
Yes, indeed.
To those who have served in the military.
Yes.
All branches, happy Veterans Day to you.
And thank you. Thank you for your service to the country.
Your sacrifice.
Thank you for that. And one of my girlfriends wrote an amazing post. She said, you know what? She said, 30 years ago, I wrote a blank check to the United States government. And it was a check that I was willing to cash, even if it cost me my life.
Oh, wow.
And so when you think about it on those terms, honey, I ain't wrote no blank check to nobody. You hear me? I didn't leave blank checks, sign blank checks around my house. Like, I know I'm not going to put no blank check. So thank you, Cassie Collington, all the way in Houston, Texas. I think that's where the military has you stationed right now. That message ministered to me.
30
years in.
So she's going to retire. Awesome.
Definitely.
I think it's so many benefits for ones who retire. But you know what? I have too many names to name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to forget anybody because I'm a little forgetful, but I would say for my son, Tyrone Simpkins. I would say for my husband, Herbert Simpkins.
Yeah.
And I would say for my dad who served in Vietnam, Albert Johnson.
Absolutely.
And everybody else who's in my family. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for serving.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your service. To all of our family and our friends, we appreciate you. I'll give a shout out to my girlfriend, Miss Roberta Timpson, because I know you are listening today. Happy Veterans Day, beautiful. It was wonderful having lunch with you. And I also honor my father who is gone and who is deceased, David Stafford, for serving in the military. For all of my girlfriends, Dink and Quan, and all of my military bad sisters, hoorah. You know what? Thank y'all for serving for the country. We really appreciate you.
Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. So, a lot's been going on in Florida. You know, Florida's
really?
That place. You don't really. I mean, yeah. A lot has been going on. You know, we voted. We were proud. We did the early voting. I like to vote on the day of. So.
Me too.
But you
too.
Know what? I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Hold up. Ain't nothing wrong with voting on the day of. Because somebody came for me and I came back. You know, like, well, why are you voting late? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Late.
That's not late. Don't make me try to feel bad because I vote on the day of.
I choose. That's my choice.
That's my choice. Yeah. I just want to
early voting just came out a few years ago.
Yeah, you want to early vote, you early vote. But I like to vote on the day of. I like to go. I like that excitement.
And that's why my ballot was not in the closet at Miramar Elementary School. Come on.
Right.
Not just the early voting, but the people who do absentee ballots who just are lazy. I'm just going to say that really bothers me.
You know, I did absentee one time, but I did the absentee ballot, and I used my ballot to figure out who I was going to vote for on voting day and took my absentee ballot to the polls and turned it in and voted on site. You got to do your research. And
you can do that.
This was a statewide exam. This was a 50-question exam.
It was. Even with my notes and everything I studied, I still got it in. It still was time. I had to take my time and everything. Make sure I bubbled my bubbles and, you know, all of that, all of it in there, you know, all good. Make sure all this is good. But we still kind of, I don't want to say we fail, but we short lack of, you know, when it comes to being effective. I guess the world sees us that we're effective when it comes to our ballots and doing early voting, our postal service. You know, it's like everybody's involved. Now we have our Brenda Snipes. You know, when it comes to a bout of elections, you know, they out there picketing or protesting. Some are for her, a lot of her are against her. Some have Trump signs, some have just Gillum signs. You know,
do we have a governor yet? We still don't have a
governor, nor Senate. And some locals either.
Right.
Because in my city, one guy won. And I'm like, how did he win? He only been in our city for a year and he still applied. And the other one didn't. And then I looked around and the other one said, no, I won. So, you know, that's a feeling. You know, like, I thought I won, but did I really win? So it's now like, you know, people are like, well, let's just do it all over again and make people, you know, come out. That's too many folks. That's a million people.
If y'all make me do that 50 question statewide exam over, I need my answers back.
Right.
You know, because even though that's the result of that, is that also the result of the amendments? You understand what I'm saying? Because we're not only just looking at that, but we're also looking at the overall, you know, from the voting system.
I think we need to look at what the other states are doing and start to learn from what they're doing. Because why is it we always have this issue?
Since 2000.
This is crazy, you know.
It's Florida.
And we don't want to put a name or blame on people because I said something and my mother went off.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm like, well, I'm just talking about the effect of this right now as a result.
Right.
You know, I don't want to say, oh, well, you did this or point you didn't do this or you didn't do that.
Right.
Because it's an overall elections, you know, a team of people that do what they do. But somehow this has to stop.
It does. And, I will always remember I was not a resident of the state of Florida at the time, but I do remember the Al Gore recount. Do y'all remember the Al Gore
recount? Yeah.
The hanging chads.
Where at that point the state of Florida was using the punch right. ballot. And so they had to determine if the punch was for the Democrats. And so they were sitting there and they had the people and they were holding up each individual ballot cards in front of one Democrat, one Republican for miles long. Which one is it? Is it Democrat or is it Republican? And that was how they had to recount those ballots. Now, I'll tell you, I appreciate here in the state of Florida that we do have a paper ballot. Because when you get to a situation like this, that paper ballot is going to really tell the truth and shame the devil. Now, if you're just punching in your vote on the machine, we all watch Scandal. We don't know what happens.
Listen.
Because like, art imitates life.
Make a
come
good
on.
Scandal. Series. My daughter said, can she bring it back? I was like, I don't know, but she should.
That's how Fitz got into office in the first place, because they went down there in Coshocton, Ohio. Okay. Anyway, listen, I watched the show. Y'all can laugh at me. Listen, I'm telling you. But it is true. I'm grateful because now we can run those ballots back through and we can really determine. And I will say this. I don't care what happens. Man, 8.1 million people in Florida came and cast their votes. Mm-hmm. And I will also say this, with 1.4 million more people getting their rights to vote back, that is power and value added. Now, there are some amendments that did pass that we know y'all didn't read. Big bank take little bank.
Right.
We know that there was some amendments on there. Yeah, you know, never mind.
Everybody just voted yes.
You know, just yes. Obviously. There were some things that really kind of rolled us back in some areas. But at the same token, it sounded good. And the way that Florida had them grouped together really caused a lot of confusion. If we're going to do something, let's do something about that.
Yes,
it's
please,
a train in the station. Hey, whoop whoop.
You know, so, I saw that. I said, so every amendment is, I guess we just bundled, really did not read.
Every amendment passed.
That's our 4-1. If it was no, it wouldn't have won. Right.
In actuality, 4-1, because actually it was supported on both sides of the aisle. So I was really pleased to have seen that, you know, when I was reading both conservative and liberal papers and really trying to make up my mind. I mean, there was no decision for me on 4-4. I was already for that from the very beginning, you know. But there were some things that we really did, and I'm proud to say that 8.5 million people, or 8.2 million people here in South Florida, voted, and some of them for the very first time, and we were able to actually impact people, our individual selves, and that's a blessing to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm gonna run down some of these things here for some hot topics. So Gillum retracts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, y'all can have 30 seconds on that.
This one is going to be for Pastor Nelly. Hang on, here she comes.
I think we just spoke about authority and positioning.
Oh, wow.
I think he should have kept that mindset. Because he's always
talked about faith. Yeah.
Yeah, he spoke about faith. I got this. I'm not worrying. And then to see him walk out and speak the way he did at the end, I said, Lord, somebody got in his ear.
He was tired.
The devil
he
got in
tired.
His ear, and he got tired.
He was tired.
And no, because you know what? If you know your position and your authority, I want to stay here till the last count.
Till the wheels roll off.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did think he conceded entirely too soon. Because I looked at Stacey Abram and I said, wait. Why did Gillum already?
Yeah.
Don't we have more? I felt like he gave in a little too quickly.
And I think that Pastor Nelly is correct. Somebody on his camp is a rat, because you told that man that he didn't have the votes to make it, but you know that they don't count provisional ballots.
Right.
You know that they don't finish counting all of those absentee ballots before they call this election. So how can you make that determination? When I watched that concession speech, I said the same thing. How is it that we can walk on faith until it looks like it's getting a little too rough? And ain't that,
That's the word.
Now, ain't that how it is with us?
We are saying
that we are walking by sight. We are walking by faith and not by sight. But the minute that it starts to look ugly, now you got to go back and do damage control. Because now we questioning your faith. Like, brother, do you really have it?
Right.
Because you are right. Stacey Abrams is up against one of the craziest situations. First of all, her running mate is the Secretary of State. He is overseeing his own election. election. You done scrubbed the rolls in Georgia. You done knocked people that's been voting for 30 years in the same votes. In the same precinct. You done did a whole lot of, and now that you have declared yourself the winner of the governor's race in Georgia, now you retire as the Secretary of State because you think you got the keys to the mansion. But baby, let me tell you, there's a ram in the bush, and it's coming back, and it's coming back to say to you, no sir, we gonna do this the right way. And so Georgia folks is up against that fight too. But I'm gonna tell you, the one that made me laugh the most was the dead guy in Nevada.
Oh God! Oh, from the I see you. One minute on that.
I think there's a difference that we tend to overlook with Stacey and Andrew was the fact that Stacey knew going in that the election was being rigged.
Right.
That's the difference. We got to remember, at the time that he conceded, he was 90,000 votes behind. So I'm not going to really dog him for that. I will say I think it was more of him being tired. And I'm thinking, when you've been told for 3 weeks now, even though he said not to listen to that, that you're 5 and 6 points ahead, I think looking at it, seeing yourself not, you felt a sense of disappointment. Right. To the point that you just did not want to deal with that. Dre, you're looking at these thousands of people waiting on you. I mean, they said, the area was just rich with people.
It was.
And it's 11 o'clock at night. You're looking at them. I think it was more of just,
let me let them go home.
Right. Let me let them go home. I'm 90,000 votes behind. Of course, hindsight is always 20/20. Right. But I think the contrasting difference is, I think it, Stacey was all, she was never going to concede because it was rigged coming into the election. I think that's the difference that we have to point out, because it is Georgia. We know what they were doing in
Thank
Georgia.
God for the pastors that bring balance in the room. Praise the living Lamb of Jesus.
And I got to stand up for the brothers. I can't let, I mean, but I think that is something that we have to point out. At the time, we can't think, we know what we see now, but we have to remember then it was looking kind of bleak for the brothers. So
So number 45.
Oh, my. Lions
Who?
And tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Number 45. Who? The orange man. Number 45.
Oh. Agent Orange.
Cheeto.
Agent Orange. Agent Orange.
Wasn't
Agent
that a reactive Orange. Something, Agent Orange?
What he done did now?
You know, I'm just so appalled at how he has reacted to black women in journalism. And I don't see, you know, and I say after the show, after I say what we say and we say what we say, I'm going to make sure I put something and I tag some people because I feel like no one is standing up. I know, where's the Oprahs? Where's the Shonda Rhimes? Where are all these people who are in journalism? Who were these people who are correspondents at the White House? You know, now you telling them to shut up, sit down, you are racist, and you stupid, and you know
that was a very stupid question you asked, lady.
You stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and everybody just standing there, like, you know, like you're the boss, you know, basically of the United States. I don't see my boss talking to me that way. He dare not, you know, talk to me that way, and I don't see him getting away with it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And you're a leader, and you're a boss. Why is he getting away with this? You know, he's such a bigot, just such a racist, and just mean and rude and disgusting.
I will say this, I did watch the after-election press conference. I was actually going to my office, and I was arrested by the after-election press conference.
Oh, Jesus.
I was arrested by it because I literally found myself unable to unglue my eyes, and I hardly ever watch number 45, but I was unable to unglue my eyes from what I was seeing, because his banter was not necessarily just towards the African American journalist, but it was everybody. Mm-hmm. When I watched him mock individuals on the National Press Corps with accents from other parts of the country, and I can't understand you, and be dismissive towards that, my heart was just like, Lord, who is this man? You know, when I would watch him and the whole exchange between him and Jim Acosta, who, by the way, had his press credentials snatched the very next day, whatever happened to free press. When I watched him just tell people sit down and then turn his head as if he was not going to even, like, you are dead to me. This is the alleged president of the United States, and I know he is, but to see that type of behavior for me personally is maddening, it's sickening, it's disgusting, and it has nothing to do with Democrat versus Republican. It has everything to do about humanity right. as it is in a whole. Yeah. And I am with you. I'm like, we got to do something about this, because at some point in time, we got to stop being onlookers and become solution providers to this problem. Absolutely. This situation has got to change.
Absolutely. Anybody else?
I think one of the things, one of the problems we have is that we're not fighting against evil. We're fighting against the illusion of good. So the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. That is princes of power. He is one of those people who has an illusion of good. So if he says some good things on a couple areas, there are people who are backing him, who are voting in his little people. I'll call them people. I won't take away their humanity. Voting in people who are actually embracing this hate, this rhetoric of, you know, of lies, and just being very aggressive to the point where they're saying, oh no, he is a God-fearing man. I think the scripture he's quoted when he said two something he was trying to quote and he couldn't even quote it correctly. Come on, Pastor. You help him out.
He said 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
Yeah, anybody who's been to church,
like
at least
it's
a, one.
Right. Like it says 2 Corinthians and 4 Revelators. And
there you go. There you
Third
go. And I
John.
Think that illusion of good on some of his issues, I think is what is having him being backed by a lot of conservative and evangelical.
Go.
Paul
yeah.
White.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate.
And Daryl.
Right, yeah. And Daryl Scott. Excuse me. Okay.
I think some people are not responding. So many people are no longer responding because I think they turned off the light. And Proverbs says, if you answer a fool according to his folly, they'll think they're wise. And so now I think a lot of people are in that place where we're just going to ignore him and don't say anything. Because now if we say something now, he still has the platform to continue on with it. Right. And I think that's why so many people are not saying anything, because they're pretty much like, okay, whatever you say, what is it going to do?
The thing about Donald Trump is hard to describe him. He's not a racist. He's a narcissistic human being.
Yeah.
He hates everybody.
Yeah.
This is not... He does not.
He is a
narcissist.
Absolutely.
He does not focus on one generation.
That's right.
And that's the problem, as you said. It's hard to figure out who he is
and who he's going to attack next. That's why I wanted to take the whole black card off of the table, because he is a universal individual when it comes to disrespecting and just being just dogmatic. Right. He's universal. When I watched that press conference, I was looking for the shoes to start flying. Like, and I posted on my page. I said, look, y'all, this man is going, you cannot keep poking this bear.
Right.
Because at one point in time, we're going to live to see it. That room is going to rush that pulpit. Him and Sarah Huckabee and whoever else is up there. And you guys are trying to make this thing right. And what irritates me about it.
Shoes going to fly, like you said.
Shoes going to start to fly. And you better be like Bush. You better be able to duck and bob. You better bob and weave. You know? I'm like, because it doesn't make any sense. And this is what we are founding our United States Democratic processes with and on, is a man that literally has no respect of persons for how he comes across. It is unfortunate and it's sad. Right.
What makes it dangerous is that he has supporters.
Right. Yeah.
Which means we're walking around living with people.
Sitting next to them
same
at work. And
that's
kind
the
of
most dangerous thing.
Yeah. I had that conversation with a young lady on my Facebook page, We Are Friends. And I explained to her, I said, listen, beloved, I just erased everything you took 45 minutes to post on my post. I just erased it. I said, because at the end of the day, Donald Trump don't care nothing about you. Nothing. But I do. When you get sick, he's not bringing you a can of soup. But I will. So let's just make it a no comment zone between you and I. You've ever heard the term no fly zone? Mm-hmm. Let's just make this a no comment zone, because I don't like that man, and nothing that you say, no deflection that you throw, nothing that you bring up is going to make me change in my mind. I don't like that man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, what was that?
I think our engineers was giving us some dap. I'm not sure.
Kudos. So we're doing great, guys. And I'm sorry that I didn't give you guys the number here, but we've been pretty much just rocking and rolling in conversation.
Yeah.
So if you guys give us a call on next week with the millennials, actually, Millennial Takeover, you can call them 954-225-1490.
Because we want to know how they voted. We want to know how well they were able to galvanize their community. Because those millennials really came out on this election and made sure that they made their voices heard.
So we're going to so I won't be here on next week. Well, our team, the Tape Talk Radio Show, won't be here on next week. This group won't be there on next week. I was going
to
say something.
We didn't get to talk about the dead guy in Nevada.
Finished.
Mr. Brothel.
I didn't even know he had died. I
think
remember
Lamar
him.
Odom. I told him I think Lamar Odom is going.
I didn't know he had died. You know, he's
you
like
did say that on my Facebook page.
But I want to talk about, since we're not going to be here, I want us to discuss our favorite dish when it comes to Thanksgiving. Our favorite dish that we like to make. Make, not buy.
Make.
Make.
Or
could
eat.
We eat?
You eat? You eat? You don't look like you eat.
All right, I eat. Sarisha, when she came in, I said, we eat so little.
Right. Hercules.
Those are the ones that eat. Slimming. Yeah, yeah.
That's true. No, they're the nitpickers. They eat a little of this and eat a little of that.
You take them out on a date or something, you think, oh, I'm good, and they eat you out of house at home.
Wow. Pastor Austin went there.
I'm surprised you now. I have a healthy appetite.
So what's your dish?
Did you say make?
Make
I don't make on Thanksgiving. That's not my job.
Make no Thanksgiving. That's not my job. Listen, ladies,
brother, we need a 911 call because Pastor Austin is about to lose his life in this studio of women talking about that is not his job. Brother, you know we's liberated now.
Not my job. Not my job. Not
on
Thanksgiving.
So what you like to eat?
Because
you sit and watch the game, the remote. What do you like to eat?
Apple cobbler. I like to eat apple cobbler on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yep.
You sweet tooth on Thanksgiving.
Yep. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What about you, Nelly, Pastor Nelly?
Everything.
Like to cook,
everything like to eat. Sonia Franco, everything is good. Every single
So we are going to Sonia whose house again?
Yes, she knows how to throw that.
We are on the way. The Table Talk Radio Show is going to pay you a visit on Thanksgiving.
I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Yes. Because your nationality is Haitian. Yes. Is there a different type of Thanksgiving? Is it the same traditional American turkey dressing?
Same thing. But we throw in the dili and jonjon. So it's the brown rice with the punch, with the mushrooms, dry mushroom, dili and jonjon. Yes.
Dili and jonjon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joan, I mean, I
know you po thing. This is gonna be just listen. I love you. Listen, I am from Ohio, and I am a corn fed girl. Mm. And you can give me anything with corn in it, and I will love it and eat it and enjoy it. So my favorite Thanksgiving meal is corn pudding.
Okay. Corn pudding.
Mm. Corn pudding.
Oh my God.
What about you, Teresa?
Now, since she put it out there, I have to say I am from Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
So in
corn
Kentucky,
pudding.
We do have corn pudding, but I have to say my favorite is sweet potato pie.
Uh-huh.
But then I like to put gravy on everything.
On the
gravy. Not on my pie. I want my pie first, though. Okay. And then I want to put gravy on the stuffing. I want it on the macaroni and cheese. I want it on...
You like good gravy.
Yes. My mama makes it from scratch. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And with that being said, we are also going to be stopping by. The Table Talk Radio Show is going to be stopping by Teresha's mama's house for some of that good gravy.
Yes.
Now, I don't eat no meat, and so you don't have to worry about me, but I will take it on my dressing. Yep. Yeah, you can have it on your mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. You can have it on your... Okay, there.
Well, for me, I like dressing. I like all dressing, but I love dressing. My aunt cooks it, Miss Shirley McLeod. I love dressing with gizzards.
Shirley, that's my member.
I know that. She taught me how to cook it with the gizzards.
And oh, okay.
I love
y'all can hold that.
Cooking. Mm. I know, because you don't eat
gizzards.
Pork, blah, blah, blah. But for me.
In my house.
In my house.
We will eat the gizzards.
We're going to eat some meat with them gizzards. Show enough. So that's my.
I want my plate, Shirley.
Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah,
Shirley,
yeah.
If you can just set me a side of dressing on the side with before you put
both.
In the gizzards.
We do both.
And be sure when the Table Talk Radio Show stops by your house too on Thanksgiving Day that you identify for Minister LaWanda which ones is gizzardless. Amen. And
but I like Nelly too. I like the collard greens, hot ones, the regular ones, the fried ones, the turkey. The hen, I want it all.
Jesus.
Last Thanksgiving, I wasn't able to actually eat everything.
That's right.
But this year, I'm
going to make up for lost time.
My stomach.
I was at Piccadilly's last year for Thanksgiving.
And
I need to
But you know, that Piccadilly's in Hollywood. You know,
no, I was
been there
out
a long
of town.
Time.
It was not by choice. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Oh,
man.
Lord.
I was the one in Hollywood. Them folks have been there 20 years. They cook some food.
No, no, no.
I think that's actually the only. I think that's the only Piccadilly left in the country.
Right, they better. It's the last one left.
Right, I don't think that. I don't think there's any more left, and all so right. We're looking forward to Thanksgiving.
And also, God, we want to give our condolences to those who
absolutely
in the California. That was California. Mm-hmm. The mass shooting. The college students were that. The
I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of this story.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of the story.
And thank you also to our first responders who's in the wildfires there in, I think,
California
Malibu.
As well.
In California, Malibu. They say a lot of people have been affected. I mean, how easy you can wake up one day and your life change, you know, even when you got money.
Mm-hmm.
Some people realize everything is fine, but then the next things happen, that's just life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to send a thank you to those first responders and helping out in those wildfires. So, guys, this has been a great show.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure that I do post it, guys. So if you're out there in Radio Land, you can stop by my page, Tanisha Simpkins. You'll see I'm trying to make sure I do it today so you can listen to the entire show. We want to thank you guys for being a part of the Table Talk Radio Show. You guys got something to say? 5 seconds.
Today we talked about the power of exposure. You cannot be what you do not see. So always remember that. You'll be blessed.
Amen. 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 I'm going to pass the mic to Pastor Nelly.
Today we talked about the power of I am, and know that Christ can be whoever you need him to be. He'll be your mom, your father, your provider, and so just know that you have the Lord that's on your side.
Teresa ain't go to church.
Well, before she said today we talked about, listen, she talked about the power of sleep. That's what she talked about, the power of Oragel. That's what she got.
Here's the lesson. I'm gonna give a lesson. We talked about purpose today, right?
Absolutely.
So I want to give you 3 pointers for you to help you find your purpose,
okay,
and then
good.
You can contact me if you need any more assistance. Okay.
Come on.
So here it is. Purpose is persistent. Purpose provides peace, and it affects people more than just you. So look for those 3 things in your direction when you're looking for purpose. You can find me on Facebook at Teresha Bennett Lee, or you can find me on Instagram at Teresha_Lee. My website is TerishaLee.com.
Spell your name.
I know, right? TerishaLee.com.
Thank you all so much.
You guys have a great day.
Bye.
Go to church. Bye-bye.
Go to church.
Been a lot of places, seen a lot of things. Done some wrong and had it done to me. Been down and out at the lowest of lows. They say that's just how the story goes, but gotta see the good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow. Gotta see the top from the bottom, the right.